Everybody say with me, more of Jesus, less of me. Let's say it again. More of Jesus, less of me. And one more time, more of Jesus, less of me. Now, we really live in a time where brands are a big thing to people. Their personal brand, how they look. And for marketing, brands are great. And you all know all the different products, and we could just say a few slogans right now, and you just shout out the name if you know it. Just do it. Save money, live better. The way they just said that. The happiest place on earth. I'm loving it. Finger looking good. Snap, crackle, pop. Good to the last drop. That's Maxwell House. Have it your way. Where's the beef? There you go. It melts in your mouth, not in your hands. We live in a time when brands are a big thing and the whole political spectrum. Politicians really trying to promote their brands. And right now we have a presidential race that's kicking off. We have a lot of individuals everywhere wanting to promote their brand. We have a lot of politicians doing that. We have people everywhere just trying to promote themselves and look at themselves. And John the Baptist really flipped things. And here it is, here's this guy that he was building a very successful ministry. He's getting the attention of everybody in the neighborhood coming out to see what's going on with John's ministry. They're traveling distances to hear what's going on. And John has a pretty important mission that was before him, preparing everybody for the arrival of the promised one, the Messiah, Jesus. Well, then Jesus shows up, and then the tension begins. What's he going to do now that Jesus has shown up on the scene? How's he going to respond? Because his brand was building up. He was getting the esteem, the attention, the focus. It was all about John the Baptist and what's going on with him. Now, there's a couple clues that we get to before we get to John chapter 3, verse 22. One of those is the minute that he sees Jesus, his immediate response is, hey, look, it's the Lamb of God. And then some of those closest to him start following Jesus. And he's not like, whoa, 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 that's just who you got to watch, but come back to me. He doesn't do that. He just releases them. So already you have a clue of what his focus is and mentality is. But sometimes if we're not careful, we're more concerned about our personal brands really than we are about Jesus. And we're okay with it being more of Jesus, but just make sure it's more of me also. But John really flips things when people question him about things because he really just says to them, more of Jesus, less of me. And so there's some really good principles and some things that we can look at today of really how can we become more effective as leaders, as workers, as parents or grandparents or witnesses for Jesus? How can we become more effective as we do that? Or how do I keep from making a mess of things because it seems like I easily make things all about me? You ever been there before? All of a sudden you have a mess and then you realize, oh, it's because I was really being selfish. And sometimes it takes us a long time to realize how selfish we were in the situation. Or how do I get out of the way so that Jesus gets the attention or the focus? So we're going to explore the John the Baptist and a situation that comes up with him. And then we're also going to just look at some leadership or life principles on how we can be more of Jesus and less of me today. So if you have your Bibles, and well, before we do that, if you remember a couple things that we looked at in the past, we looked at a couple different situations that were taking place with Jesus and his ministry. One of those is this great saying that he had when he did his very first big miraculous sign. He turned water into wine, and there was this great saying that came out of it, do whatever Jesus tells you. That's what Mary said to the servants. Do whatever Jesus tells you. Man, if we would get that into our hearts and lives, how would that change us? I'm going to do whatever Jesus tells me to do. It changes how we approach this. Because we're like, If God said it, I will do it. If God whispers something to me about having a conversation with somebody, I will do it. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. A really big thing. Then if you go on into Jesus a little bit further, after he does that, he has this conversation with John the Nicodemus, and they're having this conversation, and out of this conversation comes this whole idea of you must be born again. I mean, a great thought that comes out as we realize our lives need to be transformed and changed by the Spirit of God. We need Jesus. So not only do we need to do what Jesus tells us to do, and not only do we desperately, before we even get to that point, we just need Jesus to save us and transform our lives. It really comes right back around as John the writer writes this document. He's crafting everything as the Holy Spirit's leading him with the life of Jesus and how he's going to tell the story to pass on that to the generations to come. He goes to those ideas, and then he comes to this whole idea. Not only do you want to obey Jesus, not only do you need to depend upon Jesus to change your lives, now you have to learn to make Jesus great and you less. So John chapter 3, verse 22 starts like this. After this, Jesus and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now John also was baptizing at Anon near Salim, because there was plenty of water and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him." Tension. John had the most popular church in town. Everybody's coming to his church, essentially. They're all coming to hear what he had to preach, what he has going on. Their crowds are forming. Then Jesus' ministry begins. Now, Jesus' ministry is growing because I have a feeling John's over there going, "Hey, look, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's the guy you need to follow." I have a feeling that was taking place all the time. So crowds are shifting. And then Jesus' ministry is growing. People are starting to follow him, the things that he's teaching, whatever's going on, we don't know. But in that, there's more baptisms that are taking place because John was there doing a baptism of repentance. So people were coming out, they were hearing what John was saying, and they're like, "Man, we want to get right with God." And so John would then baptize them. So Jesus' crew that's forming around him are basically repeating and doing the same things. People are coming like, "Man, we want to be right with God too." So they just continue doing the baptisms. Now it's Jesus' crew that's doing it. It's not Jesus. Because could you imagine the tension that would have occurred if Jesus was actually doing the baptizing? Because then people that got baptized by Jesus would be like, "Hey, Jesus baptized me. You just got Peter to baptize you." Jesus actually, could you imagine the tension? So Jesus wasn't even involved in that. It's his crew doing it, but the tension that's forming. And then here's the guy, "John, hey, I'll just tell you this. You know, you cornered the market on baptisms. I mean, you ain't John the Baptist, you know? It's like, you are the man." They're taking your business. They're getting the attention. They're getting the focus. Now, some of your people are starting to follow him. What are you going to do about it? And then John answers. Before I do that, though, I want to say this. Be faithful with what God has assigned you to do, constantly giving it all back to Jesus. John was faithful with his ministry. He's like, when he knew what God had for him to do, he started doing it. He's like, "God wants me to prepare the way for the arrival of the promised one." He starts doing it. He was faithful with what God had for him to do. Don't get caught in the comparison trap. That only causes disunity, jealousy, and unhealthy pride. Do your best with what is in your control. Remember that it is Jesus' church and everything you do is for him. Because John's like, hey, if people start following me, great, because I'm shifting them all to follow Jesus. It didn't bother him. Now, other people were bothered by it because they had a relationship with John. Their connection was with him. So they're like, I know you. I don't know him. I don't like it that your ministry's failing and his is growing. What's going on? He's like, no, you want to go that way. And that really needs to be our mentality of what can we do to get people to get their eyes and their attention, their focus on Jesus. Amen. So John replies in verse 27, he says this, to this John replied, a man can receive only what is given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. John really realizes his place. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and it is now complete. I mean, think about this. He's realizing everything that God's setting up to do is now finished. He's like, he's here. Yes. I have worked, I have suffered, I have gone through everything I've had. I've had people reject me. I've been living off of vegetables and fruits and nuts and lived in wearing weird clothes. And I've been doing all that. I've sacrificed all my rights, everything that was could have been important to me. I have set that aside to prepare the way for when Jesus arrived. He's here. He's like, yes. I mean, he kept a very healthy framework of things. Because his brand wasn't about John the Baptist. His brand was about Jesus the Christ. And he's like, he gets the glory and the attention, not me. And then he goes on. Verse 30. He must become greater. I must become less. And then he goes on, verse 31. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth. And speaks as the one from the earth. The one who comes from a heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Here's... I love to focus the attention of John because he's showing great leadership at this moment. And he really reveals an essential part of being a Christ follower and also a Christian leader. It is ultimately God who assigns our role and gives us our ministry. John realized this and he felt no need to promote himself or to compete with Jesus. He's like, God gave me this ministry. It's his. And I'm going to obey him. And I'm going to make sure he gets all the glory and the honor and the attention, and I don't have to defend that reality. God gave this to me. And he didn't have to feel the need to change his role. He's like, God will guide and direct and do things as he sees fit. And then he does something really neat, because then John continues, he's like, my role is just to become less, so he becomes more. And let me point all your attention to why you need to be following him. Because it's through Jesus that you have eternal life. It's through Jesus that you have life. It's through Jesus that your life is transformed and changed. John, can't change what happens with you, but when you meet Jesus and you follow him, your life will be changed and transformed. I can give you some nice encouraging thoughts and things, he can change your life and transform you. And the reality is, you don't follow him, you reject him, then God's wrath remains on you. And here it is, my whole ministry has been trying to get you to the point of repentance so that you can be set free from God's wrath, so you can be made right with him. But the way you're ultimately made right with him is to meet Jesus, who will set you completely free from God's wrath. I mean, all the attention, all the focus is like, look that way. Jesus must become greater, I must become less. I mean, John just keeps pointing people to Jesus. So in order for there to be more of Jesus, there must obviously be less of me. If there's more of me, then there's really less room for more of Jesus. So more of me than less of Jesus, or less of me than it allows more room for Jesus. I only have so much space. I can only fill so much up. Now, the donuts that Bill brought helped because I can expand this way, but I only have so much really space in my life. I can have more of Jesus and less of me, or more of me and less of Jesus. We like the idea of more of Jesus, but it's really hard to live less of me. What if we intentionally decreased so we could have more of Jesus? I decrease, so Jesus increases. When I decrease, people see less of me so that they can see past me to see Jesus. Decreasing hurts. It's not easy. But it's a choice I make and I live by. I have to become less so that he becomes more. I have to get out of the way so that Jesus gets all the glory, the honor, and the attention. That's hard. When we live in a culture that is very much build your brand. You get the attention. You have to. And yet, as Christians, it should really be, I'm a Christian for the first part of that name, C-H-R-I-S-T. I'm a Christian because of Christ in me. So then Jesus gets the attention. Jesus gets the glory. Jesus gets the honor. Now, leadership is influence. Anything I do in leadership, be it as a parent and I'm leading my kids, or a grandparent and I'm leading the grandkids, as an employee and I have people that are under me, as just a husband with a wife, whatever. Leadership is just purely influence. Now, there's this thing, if you look at leadership principles and really in a Christian thing, it's called a leadership pyramid. And it's like you start at the bottom, the base of the pyramid is rights. And as you go up a pyramid and to the top with more responsibility going up, you lose rights as you go up the pyramid. And that's really what happens. Because think about it. As a parent, you knew, I really lose the right to explode all the time when I have kids that are watching. Because anything I do, they're going to do in even a greater way. Because they'll see that influence. And that's like that with everything in our lives. Leadership becomes, as I go up the pyramid, I begin to lose rights. I can't do certain things anymore. But it's the same way with us as Christian leaders, as Christian followers, as Christian influencers. That if I'm going to become less so that Jesus becomes more, there's some certain rights that I begin to kind of set aside. So we're just going to kind of explore those a little bit today. What are some of the rights that I sacrifice in order to become less so that Jesus becomes more? One, I give up the right to be a jerk. Because someone will copy my behavior, so I need to model for everyone how to live. And there's different times that's easy or hard in your lives, and you all know those moments. Driving on the road. Bill got behind somebody today going 2 miles an hour. I think he thought for a while they're actually driving in reverse but sliding forward because it was driving him crazy. You know, those moments sometimes when we're in the confines of the cab of our vehicle, we're thinking, oh, I can be a jerk in here because nobody will ever know. Because all they see from, you know, looking in the windows, but one of the rights I lose is just the right to be a jerk. The other thing I lose, I give up the right, if I'm going to have more of Jesus and less of me, I give up the right to lose control. People will never forget when you lose your cool, and they will never follow you the same way again. I mean, think about it for those that have kids before. If there's those moments where you've just really legitimately lost control, how for a long time they're just like, or how many of y'all have ever had a boss before that has just totally exploded on you? And how with him or her, you're just like, okay, steer clear. I mean, I worked with somebody like that one time. He used to walk into the room where all of us were working. He would just stand there and stick his arms up like this, and we still make fun of him. He's been retired for a long time, but all of us get around, and we still make fun of him how he would walk in because he would just stand there. And he just have this legit mean face, look on his face like, okay, we're all dead now. I mean, because if I lose the give up the right to just lose control, I can't say it's just me. I have to change my behavior. I can't use that as an excuse. I give up the right to take a break from my role. Leaders and influencers are aware of the responsibility of leadership at all times. I mean, my wife's a mom all the time. She never takes a break from being a mom. It's like we can be on a husband-wife little romantic getaway somewhere, and she'll still be there, and she's like, I wonder what the kids are doing right now. I wonder if they're okay. I hope they're not dead with the grandparents. She doesn't do that. I just made that up. But she never takes that, you know, they're at school, and she's like, I hope they're okay. I hope they're taken care of. I hope they're doing everything they do. She never takes a break. When we're leaders, we don't take a break from our role. We're leaders all the time. We're influencers all the time. We can't take a break or check out. I can't be like, well, I'm going to lead wherever I lead wherever I am. My actions reflect on Jesus no matter where I am or who I am with. I accurately represent Jesus. And this is where sometimes we can really be dangerous as Christians sometimes, because we're like, hey, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to Las Vegas, so I can just do whatever I want to do, because everything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And we're just like, I can step away from my role because nobody will see me or know me or anything. I remember one time my wife and I went on vacation. I went to Hawaii. We were staying with some friends, so we weren't up to anything, you know, bad or scandalous. But we were staying with some friends in Hawaii and had a great vacation. But, you know, here we are. We're walking across the memorial. I totally lost the name. Pearl Harbor. And we're walking through Pearl Harbor for the memorial of the Arizona and where it sank and everything. And here it is. We run into people that we know. Here we are, what, 4,000 miles from home? And we're walking along. It's like, hey. You never know who you're going to run into, but really, in reality, we can't take a break from our role. That's what gets us in trouble a lot of times, where we start allowing sinful behavior and stuff into our lives because we're thinking, I can take a break from my role right now. Nobody's paying attention to me. We really can't. I give up the right to have things the way I want them. If it's about my tastes, then the focus is on me and not on Jesus. What I like is irrelevant. What matters is what is right. To decrease means I'm going to give up some things I like. I must look out for the needs of others. Do I want to be a consumer or an influencer? And that's what gets really hard with church life in our country now, because we're just like, if I don't like it here, I go here. Instead of us just being like, I'm going to set aside my preferences for what matters to influence people so that their lives can be most impacted. I give up the right to get attention. Now, something inside of us craves attention and recognition, yet to decrease means that it's Jesus, not me, that gets the attention. And that's really hard. That is really hard, because we like the attention. It always feels good to be the guest of honor. It's like, hey, I get to sit at the front table, and I get to go through the receiving line first, and I get to do that, and everybody's given me the attention. And sometimes we crave that at times. But, I mean, how many times have you seen somebody that's more concerned about being the star than being a real influencer? And then all of a sudden, it's like, then you have those moments where they're like, it's just about them. It's just about them getting all the attention, all the accolades. And then everybody's just there to make them look good. And how difficult that becomes. Am I willing to give up the attention in order to advance Jesus? My goal as a leader is for Jesus to get the attention. Let's see what God will do. I mean, that's my heart. Let's see what God will do. But the only way we're going to see what God will do is if God gets the attention. If it's all a matter of what can Mark accomplish, then you're only going to get limited things that Mark can accomplish. When it's Jesus gets the attention, I get out of the way, then it's what Jesus can accomplish to do with his church, with his people, with his power of his Holy Spirit, empowering all of us and using us with him leading and guiding, then that's good. Another thing I give up when I want to make Jesus more and me less, I give up the right to set my own schedule. There's a price to leadership. There's a price to being an influencer. You show up regardless of if you like the activity or the topic. I mean, today was hard because it's like, do we have church? Do we not have church? It's snowing. Will it be safe for people to get there? Will it not be safe to get people to get there? You know, this would be a perfect time to just be like, we could just cancel and just hang out at home. And you're like, what do you do? It's that tension. But then if it becomes, it's about Jesus and not about me, then it's like, I have to set aside my schedule, my desires, so he gets the attention. Or it's like last time when we looked at Nicodemus shows up to talk to Jesus at night. Sometimes ministry just happens at inconvenient moments. I can't set my schedule on when I'm going to be an influencer or not an influencer. I can't set my schedule on those things. Another thing I give up. I give up the right to speak my mind. As an influencer, my words carry weight and influence, so I have to be careful what I say. I remember one time there was a girl named Danielle, and she was about a sophomore in high school at the time, maybe a freshman, and we were coming and we would get everybody together before youth service, and we had a junior high service and a high school service going back to back. So while the junior high service was taking place, the high school students were in the gym having a hangout time, and then we would flip it. And so I was just walking around, I was talking to some of the high school students, and I sat down with Danielle, and I was just talking to her, and I just genuinely encouraged her and made a statement to her. And I just said something to the tune of, your life matters. And it was just in this conversation, and I don't remember the specifics of it anymore. I walked away from the situation, didn't think anything of it, I was just being kind of encouraging Danielle and everything else. A couple weeks or months go by, and she reported back the tension that she had that had so sunk into her heart and life that it just changed her whole behavior and attitude. And then it just started to break through some things into her life of realizing this tension with her dad. And she finally goes to her dad, why can't you be like Pastor Mark who encouraged me? All you do is don't encourage me. Those words sunk in and so captivated her that she's like, wow, those words meant something to her, that it changed her behavior. And then it brought about healing for her, and then ultimately healing between her and her dad. I mean, we have to be careful. Our words will oftentimes outlive us. I mean, because there are positive things and definitely negative things that have been spoken to you that you remember for weeks, for months, for years, for decades, for an entire lifetime. I mean, for some of you, you might have a parent that said something really negative to you as a small child, and that has never left you. I mean, we have to be careful about how we speak. Another thing, I give up the right to pout. Whining and pouting are extremely selfish and immature. And when it drives us crazy when we're walking through the department store and we see a little kid pouting, we're like, what's wrong with that kid? Back in my day. But sometimes if we're not careful, we do the same thing. But really, in all honesty, pouting is all about getting attention, which is more about me and less about Jesus. If you're in the habit of pouting or whining, then change yourself. Less of me and more of Jesus. It's just who I am is never an acceptable excuse for being a Christ follower. I mean, change who we are. If we're whining and pouting because we're trying to manipulate a situation, stop. It's not about you. I give up the right to ignore the rules. If I rebel against authority, then I'm rebelling against God. There's a principle, what leaders do in moderation, followers will do in excess. If we ignore the rules, then everyone else will, and there'll be anarchy. And we see this really more and more in our society taking place now, where people are just like, well, let's just start ignoring all the rules, all the standards, everything else. You live your way, I'll live my way, and then it just becomes this big chaotic mess that's taking place everywhere. And to the extent then where everybody's like, wait, I don't like the way you're living, I want to live my way, but now I don't like the way you're living, and then I want to impose my rights on your rights, and it's just a big mess. But the thing I have to watch as an influencer is anything I do in moderation, those that follow me will do in excess. It always happens. I mean, you know this as a parent. You have something you enjoy, suddenly your kids think that's fun, and then they take it to the bigger picture. You do something, we have to really be careful of that. If I'm going to be a good influence, if it's going to be more about Jesus and less about me, I give up the right to exclude people. I have to include all people, not just the individuals I like, because every life matters to God. Every life is priceless and irreplaceable to God. I don't show favoritism because everyone has people around them they favor and others they do not like or annoy them. We must really include all people. I mean, we really want to lead by inclusion. We want to influence by inclusion, not exclusion. Come be a part of things. I mean, even Jesus had a whole group of people that were following him. He's pulling out these 12 that were there, but he still had this whole massive crowd of people that were following him. I mean, he was not just being like, I'm just taking these 12, you guys go away. Now, there were moments he did that, but for the most part, it was, all of you come follow me. I'm going to develop these more because I have something for them. But as a general rule, it's like, come follow me. And there were these great mounds of people. We have to do that way. Leading by exclusion is manipulative because it forces people to do what you like to be included. I've known people like this before. It's like, I like you, I like you, I like you. I'm not going to tell you I don't like you, but I'm just going to do stuff with them, and it's going to be obvious that you're not included. There's no place for that. It's more of Jesus, less of me. Always be pulling others into your circle of friends. Just come, hang out. Come be a part of things. Let's go have a Coke. I give it the right to make ultimatums. If you don't do this, then I'm going to do this. Or if you do this, I'm doing this. I mean, do we like anybody that give us ultimatums in life? No. Ultimatums say, I want what I want and I don't care about anyone else. I mean, if we're going to be a church that's really about more of Jesus and less of me, then we have to, ultimatums just have no place. Because we're all here to give Jesus the glory, the honor, the attention, and the focus. I give up the right to be me. If there is something in me that keeps me from best representing Christ, then I need to change it. It's not about what makes me comfortable. The Apostle Paul changed as necessary to reach as many people as possible for Jesus. I mean, just this is what Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 9:19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I become like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I become like one under the law, although myself, I am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I become like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. I mean, I adjust how I behave, how I talk, how I interact to best reach people for Jesus. And that's hard. I have to be me is really saying it's more of me and less of Jesus. We must flip that thought to less of me and more of Jesus. It's like there's been times I had to change how I would joke and interact with people at times because I realized I would just joke and laugh and I would make light of situations way too quick, and I had still work on that. So I'm like, I have to change so that I'm best able in a situation to respond appropriately. Instead of using humor. You know, there's things that we have to do sometimes where we have to shift. Well, it's just me. Yeah, it is. But I have to change that so it's less of me and more of Jesus. Sometimes that's hard. But when I want more of Jesus and less of me, it means I give up some rights. And finally, I give up the right to neglect my spiritual condition. We can get caught up in doing more things for God that we neglect our relationship with God. And that the thing that we have to be careful of with us right now is we have to carry, all of us have to carry a lot of weight that goes on here. Because we have few, there's still a lot of tasks to take place. But that means all of us have to shoulder some more weight and responsibility, but we still need to make sure we're taking care of our spiritual condition too. We still have to make sure I'm taking time to just give the time and the attention necessary to grow in my relationship with God. I'm taking the time to study the Bible. I'm taking the time to just pray. I'm taking the time just to worship. I'm taking just the time just to be calm and at peace and listen to God so that I spiritually grow. Sometimes we have to learn to say no so we can prioritize our time and our opportunities. Because sometimes a lot of good things will hide or smother out the very best things. We must really work to set the example for others that we're influencing. Not being so busy that we run right past Jesus. Jesus, I'm doing your stuff. He's back there. Because I got going too quick and ran right past him. Because really, in all reality, I cannot give what I do not have. I love John. Because there he is. He's like, look, the Lamb of God. Look, there's Jesus. I know you've been following me, and I know we've created this great little thing here, but look, it's Jesus. It's no longer about me. You need him more than me. You need Jesus. Amen. Take the time to connect with God. Don't neglect your relationship with God. More of Jesus and less of me. I mean, even Jesus lived this way. To the extent that his nourishment was to do the will of God. That what fueled him was to obey God and be right at that place. I mean, to the extent where it's like he'd spend hours upon hours upon hours ministering to people, and then he'd get away to talk to God. I mean, my favorite situation is where here it is. He has this great miracle. This great crowd shows up in the middle of nowhere, and he preaches to thousands, and a great miracle happens, and he feeds 5 to 15,000 people food, and this great crowd forms, and it's an awesome day of ministry, and then he sends them home, and then he goes up to the mountain. He's just like, God, I need you. That was a great day, but I need you. Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. He had the right to come off the cross and strike back. But he gave up that right for the greater good. I must decrease so that Jesus can increase. More of Jesus, less of me. Easy to say, harder to live out. But worth it in the end. More of Jesus, less of me. I must decrease so that Jesus can increase. I'm sure it wasn't easy for John the Baptist when the crowds were thinning. I'm sure on a personal level that was a little bit hard at moments. But then on the flip side, I think it was the happiest day of his life. Because the promised one had shown up. The cool part is, he got to actually meet and interact with the Son of God in the flesh. He got to be there and actually baptize him however they did it then. He got to be there and experience what a wonderful, awesome thing. But how neat it was where his responses look. You need Jesus. Go follow him. Go be close to him. Allow him to transform and change your life. And something tells me in eternity, he'll meet a lot of people that he pointed to Jesus. And I have a feeling it'll be the same way with us, at least in my imagined version of what heaven will be like, where there'll be a lot of people that at some point we met, that they came up and they met us and we're like, go meet that guy. Go meet Jesus. And they met Jesus and their lives were transformed and changed. And we'll celebrate together, because we were willing to get out of the way so they could look past us and see him. The God who accepts them, who saves them, who forgives them, who changes them, who sets them free, and not only that, who adopts them as his very own, who pulls them in to his family without any exclusion, but pulls them in, making them one of his very own. What an awesome thing that is. So I must decrease so that Jesus increases. I become less so that he becomes more. As we do that, think about the great and awesome lives and things that will happen. The lives changed. It's awesome to think about. Because then we're not worried about building our church. We're building Jesus' church. We're not worried about us getting the attention or the accolades. We're like, let Jesus get the attention, the accolades, because he's the one that saves. He's the one that changes lives. We're just getting out of the way. We're doing our part and letting God go and do his.